me to know your ways. Teach me to know your healing grace.
Teach me to
know the mighty one. Teach me to know your son.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening in on this beautiful Sunday that the Lord has given us. He gave us some rain last night. That was much needed. We hadn't had any here in Athens for a week or two anyway. Things were starting to get pretty crispy out in the yard. But anyway, he's blessing us, God is, with sunshine and rain and all of the things that we need. And we're so thankful to be his servants. We're thankful that you have an interest in his word. And again, thanks for tuning in this morning. We'll be meeting this morning at the Eastside Church of Christ at 10 o'clock. That's at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, just off Highway 31. If you'd like to join us for worship, you'd be more than welcome. We are wearing face masks and practicing social distancing, and we have plenty of room in our auditorium to do that. We'd love for you to come and be with us and worship God at 10 a.m. this morning, 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. If you can't be with us, we invite you to check us out on Facebook. The worship service will be live streamed from there, also on our website at eastside-church.org. So you can check us out on Facebook, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama, or go to our website, eastside-church.org. Well, there's sure been a lot going on in the world this year. In fact, I think 2020 will go down in history as a really notable year. It'll take up more than a page or two in the history books if the world continues to turn. You think about how things started this year. You had going into the first part of the year, there was stuff going on, but you know, there was really no idea anybody had about all of the things that we would be facing. We opened up the first part of the year, and there had been fires raging in Australia, and it was a big deal worldwide. You know, a lot of that country was actually just burned up. It was said that as many as a billion animals lost their lives in those fires, and that was still kind of going on at the first of the year. And then about January 2nd, the United States killed an Iranian general in a drone strike, and that started some tensions between us and Iran. You remember that? Seems like ancient history now, right? When that started up and people got worried, and then Iran launched a ballistic missile attack against us injuring American soldiers, and that hit the news for a while. But on January 7th, the World Health Organization notified basically the world that there was this new virus in China. And on January 11th, China recorded its first coronavirus death. Of course, we weren't paying a lot of attention to that because here in America, the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump began on January 16th. So there was stuff going on, but still sort of normal things, right? That's what we were thinking at that point in time. Things like Kobe Bryant's death occurred on January 26th. And a pretty big item in the news was that the United Kingdom withdrew from the European Union on January 31st. So January, it was a news-type month, but we didn't really hear anything that was far out of the unusual. And then, you know, Trump was acquitted by the Senate on February 5th. On February 11th, the World Health Organization named the coronavirus disease COVID-19. And on March 11th, it declared the coronavirus a pandemic. And on March 13th, President Trump declared a national emergency as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. On March 16th, the Dow Industrial Average plunged 2,997 points. That was the worst loss since 1987 at the beginning of the Great Recession. So all of a sudden, things were starting to get our attention. And for a lot of people, it really got our attention when the NCAA canceled the men and women's college basketball championship tournament. And then the Summer Olympics were postponed, moved from 2020 to 2021. And then you went to the grocery store and there was no toilet paper and there was no hand sanitizer and there probably wasn't any soap or meat either. And that went on for weeks. and schools were dismissed and children were sent home and parents had to turn into teachers, and the unemployment rate hit 14.7% on May 8th. And we've just been living with one thing right after another. And then to top all of that off, on May 25th, George Floyd was killed by Minneapolis police, launching a series of protests and civil unrest that really continue even to this day. We have nightly riots going on in some of our cities, even still right now, as of last night. So a lot of amazing things have occurred. A lot of troubling things have occurred. Things that, you never thought would happen, so to speak, have happened and disrupted daily life in America. A lot of people are fearful. A lot of people feel unsafe. There's a lot of anxiety, I think, in the American psyche this morning as a result of all that's going on. And then looking forward, trying to get kids back in school and whether or not schools are going to start up in a regular way with children on campus, or whether we're going to do online learning or some blended method of learning. So many different things whirling around in our minds, big decisions to be made, changes that are going on all around us. And it can certainly create anxiety among us, in our minds, in our personal lives. There are a lot more problems, it seems, right now with people's mental health. The number of murders in America is up sharply over the last couple of months. Just all sorts of troubles that our society is facing and we personally are facing. Our personal lives have just seen so much stress and unrest and uncertainty and trial, and to some extent, physical and mental suffering. Some of us have had people that we know with this virus. Some of us had people that we know pass away with this virus. It seems like the numbers of it being spread are just going up and up and up, and the cases of death are going up. Certainly in Alabama, they have of late, and across the nation. So just so much on our minds. And we wonder in times like this, is there anything or anyone that we can depend on? And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, really. In this time of turmoil and trouble, I want to tell you that there is a God that you can depend on. And we need to be turning to God. I saw a really troubling statistic just recently that a lot of people during this troubled time have turned away from God. There are much fewer people being associated with going to church or even, church online. A lot of the churches had to go to online teaching and things like that over the weeks during the shutdown. But many people are turning away from God during this time. And I want to tell you, that's maybe what Satan wants us to do, but it's the exact wrong thing to do. In the Old Testament, the Bible often talks about God being our rock. He's something we can rely on no matter what's going on. He's that stability in our lives, and people need that stability. And really, it's a stability that only God can provide. And I want to encourage you this morning to think about turning to God, getting closer to Him, relying on Him. Let your trust be in Him. He is our rock. In Psalm 62, David, the king and the chosen of God, writes these words. He said, "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." You know, in David's life, living in ancient Israel as he did, wherever he went throughout the Promised Land, he sees rocks. He sees big rocks, what we might even call small mountains. Rocks exist there in natural abundance, big rocks that tower over man and beast alike, big rocks in whose shadow men can find shade from the heat of the sun, big rocks in whose caves and cliffs men can find shelter from a storm or from enemies who are pursuing, as David often had to do. He would go to caves like the Cave of Adullam, or to En Gedi, which is an oasis, but it's right in the middle of a huge mountainous rock, and other places throughout the land. David was familiar with the stability and the safety and the strength of these kinds of rocks. Unlike houses and barns, rocks were able to withstand the wind and the lightning, unlike cities built on the plain. Cities built on or in rocks were impregnable. They were places that you could go to find refuge from just nearly any danger. And so because of this, in Israel in ancient times, the rocks were symbols of strength, of refuge, of shelter, of reliability. In fact, God introduced himself to Israel at a really big rock known as Mount Sinai, you know. So God is a rock. And this means that not everything is uncertain. Not everything is unrest and turmoil. It means that God is steadfast and sure that we can depend on him and rely on him. God is a rock. And ours may be a world of unrest and uncertainty and turmoil, but because of God, David says, I will never be shaken. And I want you to know God in a way that you can say that too, that you can have this close relationship with him and stand on the solid foundation of God as the rock of your life and the refuge in times of trouble. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen or what is happening if God is our rock. We have a place of strength and of refuge. So as we noticed already in Psalm 62, David says, he only is my rock. In other words, he's my refuge when nothing else is. I can rely on him and I don't need to rely on anything else. Going into this time of pandemic and all the social turmoil and everything in our country this year, maybe people thought, well, my rock is, you know, my finances, my IRAs and my 401ks and my retirement plan, or my rock is my job, or my rock is my health, or whatever it might have been. Maybe your rock was, you know, that you took solace in sports. Well, that's gone, you know. So many things have changed. So many things that we thought we could rely on, we can't rely on. But we can still rely on God. He is our rock. In verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 62, David says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. So God is the rock of salvation. He saves when other things don't save and can't save. He rescues us from the difficulties of life. Back over in Psalm 71 in verses 2 and 3, there David says, for as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, you look around, you think, well, everybody else is doing well, but everybody else isn't doing well. And a time like this that we're going through illustrates that. In Psalm 71, in verses 2 and 3, there David says, deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. So David knows that he has a physical salvation, if you will, a place to trust in God, but a spiritual salvation as well, for God is his salvation. Isaiah 43 and verse 11, Isaiah the prophet had said, speaking for God, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. So we're thinking about today, what can save us from all of this turmoil and trouble in 2020? What are we going to trust in? How are we going to solve these problems? Well, without God's help, we're not. And we're not going to be saved from anything if God doesn't help us. Let's turn to God for salvation. He is our salvation. He is a rock of refuge and a rock of defense. As I mentioned, there are these big rocks all around ancient Israel and modern Israel, as far as that goes. And they are elevated and difficult to access. And by the fact that those who would flee to them could find shelter behind, you know, their projecting crags or whatever it might be, the fact that they could find security in their deep and dark caverns, those rocks became places of refuge in times of danger, and protection was often found in them when it couldn't be found anyplace else. David knew that. And so he says, God is my rock. He's the rock of my defense. And it's interesting, how he understands that and how we need to understand it. It's not just an emotional thing with David. It's not just a feeling with David that he can trust God, but there's some real tangible things that he can rely on. And the main one of those is God's word, that God's word is a solid thing that you can turn to for guidance, for assurance, for comfort, in times of difficulty. And so back in Psalm 18, the psalmist says, talking about God, "For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him." So the security that we find in God comes from God's word. His word is proven. The way that leads to life is a word that is a way that follows the word of God. It's a tried and sure way. We can rely on it. We need to be turning to God's word now in this trying time, looking to what God says. You know, you get on social media and everybody's got a theory about what's going on or what the best way to handle things is. And so few are just looking to God's word. We need God's word. God's word has the solution to so many of our current problems. At its basis, it guides us, shows us what's right and wrong, shows us how to treat one another, shows us how to view things as, you know, there's sickness all around us, and what do we trust in, and what can we do about it, and how do we treat each other. There's a wonderful information in the Word of God about all of that. It is our rock and our security in difficult times. So in Psalm 119 and verse 114, David there says, or the psalmist does, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." See, it's God's word that provides this protection and guidance in difficult times. So God is a rock of salvation, and he's a God of refuge and defense as we turn to his word. He's also a God of strength. In Psalm 62 again, this time we'll go down into verse 7. And there David said, "In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." The rock of my strength. David says, here is what I can rely on for strength. David says, I'm not relying on myself. I'm relying on the strength of God. In Psalm 138 and verse 3, "In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul." As we look at everything that's going on and everything that we're facing in this world today, you might be saying, well, how can I find the strength to cope? And the answer is in God. David found strength to cope in God. He says, "You made me bold with strength in my soul." In Psalm 73 and verse 26, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." We find strength in God. And those who rely on him and those who trust him and those who know his word and live by his word are strong during difficult times. Surely you've seen that. Surely you've noticed those who rely on God, who have incredible strength in times of difficulty. He is our rock, the rock of our salvation, of our refuge, of our strength, and he is the rock of our glory. So many today, of course, are interested in glory for themselves. It seems like whether you're an entertainer, an athlete, or a politician, that there's a lot of self-seeking glory. But for us as Christians and for us who are relying on God, the glory belongs to God. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 31, "He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." David says there in Psalm 62 and verse 7, "In God is my salvation and my glory." Way back in the 17th century, there's a king in Poland named Sobieski, and he's best remembered as the man who saved Central Europe from the invading armies of the Turks in 1683. The Turks actually made it all the way to the walls of Vienna, but Sobieski led a charge that broke the siege, and so his rescue of Vienna is considered one of the decisive battles, actually, in European history. As he was announcing the great victory, the king paraphrased the famous words of an ancient Caesar by simply saying, "I came, I saw, God conquered." I like that. A man who realizes that whatever he accomplishes is enabled by the strength of God. That's what we need to be relying on today, God's strength. So let's think about God being our rock and what that means to us. Because God is a rock, let's trust him. Let's trust him with everything in our lives, including all of the swirling trouble that's going on around us in this world. David had said, "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation." So David is fully trusting God during this difficult time in his life. In verse 5, "My soul waits silently for God alone, and my expectation is from him." I don't know if you figured this out yet, but politicians aren't going to save us from all of our trouble. Scientists are not going to save us from all of our trouble. Medical professionals are not going to save us from all of our trouble. Things that we thought we could rely on, we can't rely on. I've said two or three times, I had a calendar at the beginning of the year that was filled up with things I was supposed to do, trips I was supposed to make, places I was supposed to go, and all of that. And that calendar just got wiped out. You know, there's nothing on my calendar now that was there at the beginning of the year, and everything that was there at the beginning of the year is no longer there. That's just the reality of this life that we're living right now, but we can trust in God. Don't move away from that trust. David says, again, looking at verse 2, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." And then again in verse 6, "I shall not be moved. He is my defense." Don't move away from that solid rock that you can trust, that is your defense, that helps you in difficult times. I'm old enough that I can remember when Westerns were still being shown a lot on television and in the movies. And the old Western movie, typically, there'd always be at least one shootout somewhere out in the Badlands or in the desert somewhere. And in those shootouts, you know, every cowboy would get behind a rock or a tree for protection. And they'd duck behind the tree or the rock and they'd shoot. And so you knew what was going to happen, right? As soon as one of them got afraid or tried to make his escape and ran away from behind his rock, he was going to get shot. You know, you run from behind your rock, you're going to get shot. And David said, I shall not be moved. I'm staying with the rock. I'm not going to expose myself to danger. I've got a rock that protects me, and I'm going to stay with him. That's God. He is the rock of our protection. He will listen to our problems. He will take care of our problems. In Psalm 62 and verse 8, David says, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." When was the last time you prayed? When was the last time you turned all these troubles over to God? If you're in Christ, that's something you should be doing and can do, thankfully, regularly. Don't try to go through these troubles without God. He's the one who can solve them. Pray to God. Pray regularly. Pray diligently. In Psalm 62 and verse 8, David is saying, pour out your heart to him. Give him your problems. In the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippian Christians, says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You see what Paul's saying? God is a refuge. He's a rock. You pour out your heart to him. You lay your troubles on him. He can take that. He can handle those things. Don't try to handle it yourself. You can't do it. Let God have control of those things. Let God take over those things. Jesus, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, spoke a parable, and the intent of the parable was this, according to Luke 18 and verse 1. It says he spoke a parable that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. I truly believe that so much of the anxiety and depression and mental anguish that so many are experiencing today has just resulted from the fact that so many people feel like they can't give their problems to anybody. They can't turn it over to somebody else and have them take care of it. My friends, God is the answer to that. He is the answer to that. He is the all-powerful, the almighty, the creator of all, the sustainer of all. He can handle your problems. You need a relationship with him. You need to come to know him. You need to obey his word, become one of his children by believing in his son, repenting of sins, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. And in doing that, you'll have a father who listens no matter what the problems are. You have a father to whom you can give everything. The problem, I think, in our society today is that we're trusting in institutions and in people and in things that are themselves unreliable. And somehow we think they're gonna fix the problems, that they'll handle it. And we're seeing that that's not the case. But God is there, and God will handle things in his way and in a way that is best for his people. I read a story not long ago. This happened, I think, a few decades back, but it was an interesting story. A hospital had been built, and, of course, they'd put in fire protection in this hospital, including emergency, you know, hoses if the and sprinkler system if there was a fire. And apparently it was installed but wasn't inspected for a good number of years. After 35 years, finally, this thing was inspected, and it was discovered that their entire fire protection system had never been attached to the water main. There was no water flowing, you know, to the sprinklers and all of that in this particular hospital. It was an amazing story, but true. And it sort of reminded me of how human beings trust in things that don't work, that are not going to work, that can never work. We think they can, but they won't. And we rely on so many things in this life, our job security, our health, you know, the government to supply what we need, so on and so forth, our medical people to take care of everything. And while, you know, people in government are trying their best, some of them, and medical folks are, and you know, our workplaces, it's great to have a job, but there are a lot of things that you really can't 100% rely on in this life, but you can rely on God. He is the safety. He is the security. We think we can trust in money. David tells us not to do that as we wind up our study of Psalm 62. Psalm 62 in verse 10, he says, "Do not trust in oppression nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them." We've just come through an amazing time of economic prosperity in our country. And a lot of people have done well in recent years, but we can't trust in that. That can be gone in a minute. And David's telling us, don't trust in those things. Trust in God. Paul echoes that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, where he tells Timothy to command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good. Let them be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. There's the kind of lives that we want to be living, right? Not lives that trust in money. Lives that trust in God. I believe that we've found that money can't solve everything, that it's unreliable, that as we noticed that stock market drop earlier this year, it could happen again. The economy could easily be wiped out just with the next tragedy. I'm not fear-mongering here. I'm not suggesting that we all just live in fear. In fact, quite the opposite. My point is that we need to trust in someone that's reliable. We need to trust in God. So, encouraging everybody to think seriously about your relationship with God. Have a relationship with him that you can turn all your problems over to him and all your fears and all your anxieties, and know that he cares and he's listening. We thank you for tuning in to our broadcast this morning. Again, we invite you to be with us. The announcer will give some times for our services that are not accurate. We're just meeting this morning at 10 o'clock. So be with us then if you can. Also, check out our website, eastside-church.org. We have live streaming of our tonight's service at 5 o'clock, and also we have a Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 that you might want to check out. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day. Continue to try to walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. And tune in again next week to The Way That Leads to Life.